Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in again as we're doing another pre-recorded sermon. We're loving our neighbors well through COVID-19, and so although we are scattered this morning, we're still God's people. And I want to encourage you this morning and say happy Resurrection Sunday, happy Easter. Normally, again, we're all gathered to sing and celebrate in a big way about what Jesus has done for us, but although we're scattered this morning, whether you're by yourself or with your family or friends or roommates, whoever that might be, I want to encourage you to go through our worship guide that we've put out there, listen to this sermon, and be reminded of the truth and the reality that Christ has risen from the dead. And that means everything for us in our lives. We can sing and celebrate that at all times, even through seasons like this where that are more frustrating, where we're not able to gather and be together. We can still be encouraged by the good news about Jesus that is in our place for our sins. And so happy Resurrection Sunday to you this morning. As you can see, I'm dressed up. I'm doing things a little bit different this morning. Come on, don't knock me. I'm speaking to a room where nobody's at, and I just figured I'd mix it up, have a little fun. So I'm dressed up today, but the bottom half is PJs. I'm just kidding. But we're going to go through John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36 as we continue on in our series. Let me pray for us, and then we'll go ahead and jump into this text. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for all of the things that you spoke, but you spoke about what it means to truly be free. Give us minds to understand this. Help us to see that this comes through your perfect work, your perfect life lived in our place, your sacrificial death on the cross in our place for our sins, and then your resurrection 3 days later, so that we can know that we have been accepted by God and loved by him forever. Draw our hearts to that and draw our hearts away from all the anxieties and fears and worries that seek to cloud that beautiful vision of who you are that's revealed in your words. So Jesus, we pray that your words would go forth and not mine, your thoughts. Encourage our hearts with the good news of the resurrection today. In Jesus' name, amen. You might have heard the name Johns Hopkins. It's a name you've probably heard a lot over the last few weeks because it's the name of the number one ranked hospital in the world that specializes in research and medical advancements and caring for the sick. And so in the field of medicine, the name Johns Hopkins is a name you can trust. But before Johns Hopkins was known for being Johns Hopkins, the founder of the world's greatest hospital, he was a son of devout Quakers. Christians who lived during the time of American chattel slavery, who believed that slavery was morally wrong based on the words of Jesus, even the words of Jesus here. And so consequently, they freed their slaves in an era where many people took a financial loss in doing so. When John Hopkins' father liberated the family's slaves, John Hopkins and his brothers, they stopped their education and they started working in their family's fields. And we know that he ended up being a wealthy and successful man. And with his fortune, Johns Hopkins, he started an orphanage for African-American children, but he also was the visionary and entrepreneur for the world's first research hospital. And so the motto for the board of Johns Hopkins University and Hospital that was established in 1885 are the words that we see spoken by Jesus here in John chapter 8, verse 32. In Latin, it's this, veritas vos liberabit, or the truth will set you free. So we could say that Johns Hopkins was a man gripped by and shaped by this truth, but even more than that, because both he and thousands of others in his name, they actually embodied this truth as well, even today. These words that we see here in John chapter 8, verse 32, verses 31 through 36, they originated in the part of the conversation that we're looking at today, a conversation that takes place between Jesus and some people who aren't even actually against him, but for him. They believe him. If you look at verse 31, it says that Jesus said this to the Jews who had believed in him. Now, remember, all the way back to John chapter 6, we know from that chapter that Jesus is an equal opportunity offender and that all of us, from the most opposed to him to the most accepting of him, we're all just one hard saying away from unfollowing him. And so that's what starts to happen again here in John chapter 8. And it gets pretty messy. See, they end up insulting Jesus' mom by the end of this conversation, and then he ends up calling them the devil's kids. Now, it's Easter, so it would be kind of awkward if I preached a sermon on Jesus calling people's dads the devil, right? That's next week. But anyways, in these seven verses of this conversation, things start to escalate really quickly after Jesus speaks the truth to them about what it means for them to be his followers. Ultimately, it means this. It means that they will be free, which implies that they're currently not. And so that's what we're looking at today, freedom. Freedom as Jesus defines it. And if we could summarize what's happening in these verses, it's this. Following Jesus leads to true freedom. Following Jesus leads to true freedom, a freedom that we don't know that we need, but think we already have and can never secure for ourselves. Following Jesus leads to true freedom, a freedom that we don't know that we need, but think that we already have and can never secure for ourselves. And that statement, brothers and sisters, describes everyone who has come into this world. So before we jump into this, let's just answer the question, a few questions about freedom. What is it? What does Jesus mean by freedom here? What does it mean for us to be free? Well, Jesus' statement in verses 31 through 32 speaks about how we can be free. But when these people start to question whether or not they even need this freedom that he's talking about, he goes on in verses 34 and 35 and explains why they need this freedom that he offers. And so before we look at how we can have this freedom, let's just see what it is, how Jesus defines it, and why we need it. So firstly, what is freedom? Now, what do you think of when you hear the word freedom? If you're an American citizen, you probably have ideas about what that means: political freedom, religious freedom, moral freedom, freedoms according to rights listed in our Constitution. And if you think about freedom in general, what lies at the root of each of these freedoms, however we define freedom, is spiritual freedom. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking ultimately about spiritual freedom. And so when people typically hear the word freedom, they often think of independence. We think of maybe our Declaration of Independence. People typically think of independence when they're thinking about freedom. Independence, it would be having the power and the ability to live without constraint and to live authentically according to whatever we believe is right or true. Freedom in this sense would be getting to define yourself. Defining ourselves by either pushing away the constraints that hinder or are in the way of our freedom, or freedom by pursuing equality or authenticity or whatever we think is good on our own terms. Freedom is self-determination. Freedom as independence is having the ability to determine what we think is good for us. That's freedom as many people would define it, but that's not freedom as Jesus defines it here. He tells these people here that true freedom isn't unrestrained independence that's guided by our determination of what's true and good for us. True freedom, according to Jesus, true freedom is dependence. True freedom is dependence. It's dependence on him. And it's guided by truth as he defines it. It's dependency on him to do and to choose what God defines as good. That's true freedom. That's the freedom that Jesus is talking about. If you look at verse 31, it says this, that if you abide, which means if you continue and remain in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Notice he says, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You see the dependence there? And the result of this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Brothers and sisters, truth and freedom aren't ultimately defined by us. They don't originate in us, and they don't rest in us. But they are a result of the dependency on and submission to Jesus. And so what Jesus is saying here is this, that the dependency that comes through discipleship is the road to true freedom. The dependency that comes through discipleship is the road to true freedom. What this means is that we're no longer reliant on our truth to lead us to what we determine is good. That's not what we do as followers of Jesus. No, we know truth through Jesus' words, through depending on Jesus' words, through obeying Jesus' words. And his truth leads us to true freedom, dependence on God, dependence on God to do what God determines and defines as good, to choose it, to love it, to pursue it, to obey it. That's the freedom that Jesus offers. That's the freedom that Jesus is talking about here in this text. But the reality is this, we don't know that we need this freedom. See, we think that we already have freedom because we define it differently than Jesus. And when it comes down to it, people don't really want that kind of freedom that Jesus offers. Why? Well, just walk up to anybody and read them the Ten Commandments and ask them how their life lines up to that. Ask them if they perceive that as freedom. No, instead, many people often look at God's law, his requirements, his standards, and we see it as restrictive or oppressive or the opposite of independence. See, this kind of freedom as dependency, brothers and sisters, it flies in the face of people who believe that we determine the truth that leads to our liberty. People like those Jesus is talking to here in verse 33 would be offended at this kind of freedom as dependency that Jesus puts forth. It flies in the face of people who are comfortable in our own spiritual independence. Because when we're comfortable in our own spiritual independence, we think that we're already free. See, doing whatever we want, doing what we feel is good, it doesn't feel like we're enslaved to anyone or anything. It doesn't feel like we're restricted. See, if you look at verse 33, you see that these people here, they found their freedom in their genealogy. They found their freedom in their ancestry through their family tree at ancestry.com. They essentially say to Jesus, look, Jesus, we're biological children of Abraham. We are blood related to Abraham, the forefather. And that makes us God's people, which means that we are accepted before God, that we are assured, that we have right standing with God, all because of our biological bloodline. That's our truth. That's what convinces us that we are free. That's how we can look at you, Jesus, and say, we're good. We don't need the freedom that you're offering because we aren't enslaved. And brothers and sisters, even for people like us, we're no different. We're convinced of our independence through pursuing the things that feel right and good to us, the things that we choose to define us. So a question for us this morning, a question that we can ask ourselves is, what's convinced you that you're free? What's convinced you that you're free? What is it that calls out to your desires that freedom is this way? What is it, or what do you have that makes you feel free? Is it the way that your job makes you feel? Is it the happiness that you get from relationships? Is it the sense of meaning that comes through devotion to the right causes? Is it the pleasure that comes from food and drink and sex? What convinces you that you are free? What pulls at your desires and says freedom is this way? See, we don't know that we need this freedom that Jesus offers because the world all around us and even our own hearts tell us that look, you know the way. You know the way to freedom. Our truth, as we determine it, will lead us or has already led us to independence. That's the message that we hear. That's the false gospel that is proclaimed to us. And we hear this false gospel of false freedom proclaimed to us in everything from kids' movies to car commercials. And the message proclaimed is this, that true freedom and true independence is found within. It's found within you. So do whatever you want or do whatever you feel to be free. Even more than that, false freedom says this. It tells us that there's this unique and uncharted path to your freedom and authenticity that only you can blaze, that only you can find for your good, for your happiness. So ultimately, you just need to look within and go, do, be, find freedom. But listen, if we just step back, the reality is that no matter how original we think the road of our truth is, or the path to our authentic selves, it's a path that's already been blazed before. There are already tire tracks and footprints leading down this road. And they're the tire tracks and footprints of a chain gang. The road of spiritual freedom as independence is a road that leads not to freedom, but to enslavement and to destruction. And that's why Jesus answers these misguided people who already think that they're free, He answers them by exposing the lie that they've believed about their freedom. It's not actually freedom at all. And so now he goes on to explain why we need freedom. Look at verse 34. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Now step back for a second. Be honest, brothers and sisters. Be honest with yourself, even if you're listening to this and you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus. Answer this question honestly. How has your freedom been working for you? How has this false freedom been working for you? Where has the path to your most authentic self and free self taken you? Where have your desires led you? Have you truly experienced the good that you longed for, that you set out to find? Is it all satisfying? Is people's acceptance enough? Is the top of the career ladder enough? Is the relationship enough? Is the pleasure enough? The things you've had to do in order to secure this freedom, have they been worth it? Is the stuff that you've amassed enough? Listen, Jesus would say, on God and his word, in the words of his son here, it is not enough, and it never will be. That's not freedom. Because all of these things constantly disappoint us. All of these things constantly let us down and leave us in a place of despair, of hopelessness, and frustration. And yet, brothers and sisters, we continuously work and work and work trying to find freedom in all of these things. That's not freedom. Instead, though, all of the effort that we've put out in pursuing freedom on our own terms and always arriving at disappointment, it just shows us something about ourselves that we really wouldn't even we'd never even admit. We're slaves. We are enslaved. Particularly, we're slaves to sin. And sin is the greatest problem that you and I will ever face. Sin is the greatest problem that we have. It's the greatest problem that plagues this world. It's at the root of every selfish act. Every moment, thought, action of corruption and wickedness, personal and corporate, every problem is a sin problem. Every problem is a sin problem. And listen, that's not just the cliche to minimize the complexity of the brokenness and the broken things that we see all around us. It's the ultimate diagnosis of this world and the people in it and why things are the way that they are. It's ultimately because of sin. The sin of our first parents, your sin, my sin. Sin is the greatest problem that we have. And if the specific effects of sin and the implications of sin in this world are going to truly be dealt with, corrected, eradicated, then sin must be dealt with. Sin must be dealt with. And that is why Jesus is here. That is why he has come. See, listen, false freedom tells us that your greatest problem is your personal unhappiness. Your personal unfulfillment, meaninglessness, the meaninglessness of your life. And false freedom proclaims to you, listen, we'll be free when I'm happy, when I'm fulfilled, when I find meaning, however I can get to that, then everything will be okay. Furthermore, false freedom says that the world's greatest problem isn't in here. It's not my sin or the fact that sin plagues me and everything around me. No, false freedom proclaims that the greatest problem that we face is brokenness, injustice, poverty, the climate, natural disasters, obesity, viruses. And false freedom proclaims that whenever we fix these things, that's when we will achieve true freedom. That's when we will achieve true satisfaction and true meaning and true hope. But Jesus says, no matter how hard we work at trying to fix and correct these things and the good intentions and the good results that come from pursuing these efforts, Jesus says that our greatest problem is sin. It's not necessarily the things out there that are our greatest problem. It's what's in here. It's us. What's in us is our greatest problem. See, sin isn't just doing bad things like lying or murdering or cheating, although we do and are willing to do all of those things in the pursuit of freedom as independence. Now, sin is the self-determined, self-sovereign life that thinks it can define and find goodness, satisfaction, meaning, and enoughness outside of God. That's what sin is. And the reason that we are slaves to sin is because as much as we want to be on this road of false freedom, freedom as we define it, we don't know how to choose any other route. We can't choose any other route. We won't choose any other route. The internal GPS of our hearts that we come into this world with because we are sinners, it knows no other way than self-determination because that's the way we're wired. Which is why Jesus doesn't say that everyone who practices sin will be a slave to sin. Certainly that is true, but he says that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Our sin proves our enslavement, and our sin also contributes to our enslavement. And every day that we wake up, every day that we wake up as freedom fighters in our own terms, on our own terms, hustling for joy and peace and happiness and life and everything else besides God, the reality is that we're not independent self-starters in this work as much as we are slaves. We don't know how to do anything else. See, as our own cruel masters, empowered by sin, we order ourselves to find freedom in lesser things. And when our findings are insufficient, we're ordered back to the pursuit again, nonstop working. Sin's enslavement of us is so much deeper than our actions, if we believe this. Sin's enslavement of us penetrates down to our desires. Our desires are broken. We cannot choose what is truly good for us. And we don't want to do anything else but pursue the things that are wrong for us, things that are insufficient and empty. Listen, we are slaves to sin because we are captured. We're captured, even though the truth is we often choose what we're captured by. That's what it means for us to be slaves to sin. And this road to false freedom, it leads to enslavement, but it also leads to our destruction. See, this kind of work that we're doing as slaves to sin, it's temporary. It doesn't last forever. Romans chapter 3 tells us that sin pays death. The wages of sin are death. And sin, it has a shot clock so that if you don't or can't find the freedom that you're looking for in enough time, then your life is turned over to destruction, to hell, to separation from God, from true life, joy, peace, and satisfaction. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. We don't know when the clock's up or when the time expires. See, after all the unfulfillment and dissatisfaction that comes from sin's enslavement, sin, the cruel master, walks into the house out of nowhere and then just pays you death. That's what Jesus is getting at. And listen, that's the anxiety that we feel on the regular, isn't it? It's the race to find freedom because we don't have much time. It's the constant wondering is this all that there is? When will my life have meaning? When will freedom come? I keep looking and looking and looking and keep looking at my watch at the same time, never being able to find what I'm truly looking for. See, that's what Jesus means when he says in verse 35 that the slave does not remain in the house forever. See, listen, the life of enslavement to sin is an unassured life. It's an uninterrupted shift. No breaks, no rest. You just keep working and working and working, and that work is only interrupted by death. That's what it means to be a slave to sin. And so, brothers and sisters, spiritual independence and false freedom, it leads to death and transience. There's no assurance there. There's no stability in the life under enslavement to sin. So listen, Are you on this road to false freedom? Are you on this road to false freedom? Does it keep leading to temporary death in this life? Has it led you to death and disappointment time and time and time again? Are you at the end of yourself? Do you desire that your desires change because you just can't do anything to change them? Do you feel like you're reaching the end of yourself, but feel helpless to change and unable to do what is truly good? If that's you, if you're at the edge of the cliff, if sin's enslavement has driven you to the end of yourself and you desire new desires, that's grace. That's a gift. That's a gift from God that the sinfully enslaved heart could never produce on its own. You want something else. You know that there's something more. You know that there is true good out there that is so much different and so much better than all the good as you've defined it in all of these other things. Listen, if that's where you are, stop trying to earn freedom through your own efforts. Stop denying your enslavement. Stop thinking that you're the one in control of your desires and your outcomes. Stop waking up every day with a renewed zeal and a deceived heart that believes that your desires for independence apart from God are going to be filled. They never will. Stop serving the cruel master of sin. And look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to the Son, is what Jesus would say. Because in him, the uncertainty ends. In him, the disappointment and death ceases. In him, the enslavement and imprisonment to sin is over. Why? Because unlike the temporary slave enslavement that ends with death, the Son remains forever. See, his status in the household, his status in the family is sure and fixed, and it's far greater than the ever-changing and uncertain status of a slave. He, by position, is free, and he, by position, and who he is permanent. And the freedom that Jesus offers isn't a kind of spiritual emancipation with no more masters. Don't hear Jesus saying that. He's not pointing to that as freedom, remember? He defines freedom, true freedom, as dependence upon him, upon God. True spiritual freedom isn't found in independence and a life without constraints, but it's found in dependence on the right master. See, listen, false freedom tells you the lie that you are not enslaved, that you never were enslaved, that you are your own master. But the truth that Jesus presents us with is the fact that we are all slaves. And true freedom is found in serving the right master. That's what he puts forth to these people, and that's what he puts forth to us. It's offensive to our sinful hearts because, again, we believe the lie that we're free. But true freedom comes from depending on him, submitting ourselves to him. That's why he says, therefore, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. True freedom is found not in being enslaved to sin, but enslaved to the Son. The Son who has the power to set us free from sin's enslaving power and to set all of us free. Our bodies, our minds, our souls, and our desires. The Son has the power to set our desires free. And only the liberating power of God, the Son, can cause us to want to do what is truly good, to want to do what God wants. Only Jesus can correct that in our hearts. Only he can give us new hearts with new desires that look and love to obey the good that God wants for us. That which we ought to do. One scholar, he says this, that true freedom is not the liberty to do anything we please, but the liberty to do what we ought. True freedom is not the liberty to do anything that we please, but the liberty to do what we ought. So again, brothers and sisters, do you want to be free? Are you tired of what your pursuit of spiritual independence has got you? Are you tired of looking at what it's cost you? Are you tired of always being at sin's disposal, being taken where you don't want to go and left with more shame and guilt and fear and punishment than you can bear? Are you weary from the inner battle of your desires always warring against what you know is good and the constant losses that you face? Do you want to be free? Listen, the expectation isn't for you to earn your freedom, because you can't. The expectation isn't for you to find truth within yourself or in your own efforts, because you never will. So how can you get this freedom? How can you get this freedom? Look to the Son. Look to the Son to do what you can't. Look to Him. Behold His greatness. Believe His name. Trust in His words. Abide in them. Remain in them. Listen to the Son to encounter the truth that liberates. Hear Him as He speaks the truth about what He's seen from His Father, the truth about who we are as sinners, the truth about who He is as God's Son who saves. Trust His words and let His words make a home, a permanent home in you. And if we trust His words, then you will have a permanent home in His home. You'll be permanently in His home. Extend the hands of your soul with their invisible fetters and trust that the Son will act graciously and powerfully in breaking sin's power over you. That's His promise to you. That's His promise to all who trust in Him. To break the power of cancel sin and set the sinner free. To give us new desires, free desires that can do the true good that God desires for us. That's dependence. That's the dependence that comes through discipleship, through following Jesus. Jesus sets sinners free. He comes into this world to set the captives free, and He breaks sin's power over weak and sinful people like us by living perfectly in our place, doing everything right when we did everything wrong. Listen, when we free fall in the pursuit of spiritual independence from God, He obeys God, His Father, perfectly. He entrusts Himself to God fully, and He always does what is good. Look at Him. His perfect life is counted as ours. And in the place of our sin-saturated lives that deserve the punishment of God's judgment, Jesus sacrificially bears our sin on Himself on the cross. Every selfish pursuit of yours, every defiant thought and action against God, every step that you take down the road to false freedom with your back turned against God, He bears the punishment of that on Himself. He takes the payment of death that we earn for our sin, and He exchanges His death for our life. And in His powerful resurrection from the dead, 3 days later, Jesus gives assurance to the Son, and all those who trust in Him will remain forever in the family of God. Put down the tools that you're using in sin's enslavement, and look and trust the Son to liberate. The truth is that because of Jesus, because of whom the Son sets free is free indeed, sin has no dominion over you. The greatest problem that you will ever face, the greatest problem that plagues this world with all of its implications, sin will have no dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but you are under grace. This is what Jesus offers. Will you turn from your sin and trust in Him? Jesus, we thank You for Your words. Help us to throw ourselves on You in dependency as Your followers, as Your disciples. Help us to know the truth and to be liberated by it so that we can do the good that God desires. Help us to turn from sin and trust in You, to experience this freedom that You desire to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thanks for tuning in. Again, go through that worship guide, sing together, pray together. I hope you're encouraged by this sermon, and I hope it redirects your heart to the good news of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. Sing and celebrate Easter and his resurrection today. We'll see you later if you're going to be on that call. And we love you and pray that God's grace would be with you, even as we're scattered. All right, we'll see you later.